for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, August the 30th, 2013, Stan Joslin is the speaker of the evening teaching on Wounded Pride.
So, Stan, without further ado, I want to take up your time. Would you please come forward, and we're going to hear the word of the Lord from Stan Joslin.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and get started. Welcome, everyone, and good afternoon. Today, I'd like to bring before you an area for deliverance and healing. Much like the message Pastor Monty brought to you, it's just not deliverance. There's a component of healing that needs to go hand in hand with deliverance in this area. Now, once I mention where the area is we're going to speak about tonight, many people instantly think that this is just an evil and vile and just not to justify the manifestation, but it's not all evil. A lot of it's based in wounds. And I'd like to point out that the root of their evil actions, their attitudes, are wounded spirits, the rejection and insecurities that they hold inside. And this is what makes those manifestations come out. The title of my message tonight is Wounded Pride. Now, let me give you an instant recognizable example of wounded pride. The Napoleon Complex. How many of you have heard of the Napoleon Complex? It's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? It's a perfect example of someone's wounds and their insecurities making them prideful. And you can see it, can't you? It's just plain as day. And they're trying to compensate for their wounds and deficiencies with ruling with an iron fist. And with an attitude, I am king, or even I am God attitude. However, it never changes the root, does it? The real reason they're acting that way really never changes, does it? They still feel inadequate. They still feel that because they're slight in stature. They are insecure and wounded, making up for the rest of their lives. This is a wounded spirit. This is a wounded pride. Now, I've been accused of telling a story or two, so here's one. When I was growing up, we used to have a dog called Fred. And Fred was a rat terrier feist. And he was about this big and this tall. And he thought he was 60 pounds. And if he really was 60 pounds, we'd have to kill him because he would just be so mean and dangerous to everyone around. He just thought he was something else in a bag of chips. And he would growl at every dog that we owned. And he'd growl and try and charge them and snap at them. And if you ever scolded another dog and said no or gave it instructions, he would start biting his hind heels and just going, tearing them up. Most of the time the dog just look over and go, what's wrong with you? And do nothing. Well, one day, and it's very clear in my mind, one day Smokey, and Smokey is an English shepherd, just got tired of it. He won't reach over, picked up Fred, shook him twice, and set him down gently. And Fred just runs off to the side of the hay barn and just starts breaking a stick over and over and over with his teeth. Fred still had to be over something. Fred still had to have dominion over something, even if it was an adamant stick. Now, what is wounded pride can be explained really very simply in three very, very basic points. And it's not heavy-duty mumbo-jumbo. The first point, most pride is birthed by wounds and insecurity. First basic point. Now, how many of you have been wounded? How many of you have been wounded so much you can't raise your hands? The second very basic point is that the pride is a compensation. It's a self-affirming treatment that has gone terribly wrong. Very, very wrong. And the third basic point is that pride simply masks and attempts to hide the insufficiency, the inadequacy, and the inferiority some people feel inside of them. They're driven by that impurity, the insecurity, and it drives them to be prideful. It's a compensation. It really is only that simple. It's simply a counterbalance. Someone's wounded and they're trying to mask it. But obviously, it never really heals the wound, does it? It never heals the insecurity. It never takes care of the insufficiency, the inadequacy, the inferiority. It just overcompensates for it over and again. Now, you can't have a balanced scale of, say, on this side, 1 pound of wounds, and on this side, 1 pound of pride trying to hide and balance. You've always got to have 16 pounds of pride trying to hide 1 pound of wounds. And it still never hides it, does it? You only think people don't see your weakness behind that 16 pounds of pride. Most people do, though. Most people see right through it. Let me give you the dictionary definition of compensation. The act compensating, or the state of being compensated. Secondly, something such as money given or received as payment or reparation, as for service or loss. Third, biology, the increase in size or activity of one part of an organism or organ that makes up for the loss or the function of another. And the last one I really want to focus in and hone in on, and that's a psychology definition of compensation. A mechanism by which an individual attempts to make up for some real or imagined deficiency of personality or behavior by developing or stressing another aspect of the personality or by substituting a different form of behavior. You know, sometimes they get it right, don't they? They do this thing. Pride boils down to a symptom of a wounded spirit, a crushed spirit. It's basically a manifestation of being wounded and therefore rejected and insecure. Really that simple. As defined before, by substituting a different form of behavior, we are compensating with pride to mask our wounds. Let me read you Psalms chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Now, let me ask you this. Do you feel in your belief system or your thought process that God has let some bad thing happen in your life to the point where you blame God? After a while, your pride takes over. I don't need God, I can do it myself. In fact, I do it better. Because I can't always depend upon God as the lie the enemy is trying to put in your brain. You know, they hear the words that God isn't always there for me, so I have to take things into my own hands. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever been there? You know, many people interpret the phrase wounded pride with feeling like a failure, full of shame. And even the Bible associates that. If you look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. You know, pride, shame, which comes first? How many of you have seen the Newton cradle? It's got six steel balls. Pick up one, drop it, it hits, drops. Pride, shame, pride, shame. It goes on a long time, doesn't it? Long time. You're wounded by being embarrassed and shamed as a child. And your pride is trying to cover that up. And were you shamed as a child? Were you humiliated? And I'm not just talking put in the corner. There's some horrible things done to children. Kind of teach them a lesson. And all it's done is crush the spirit. There's also the shame of being poor. This can drive you to do anything. I mean anything. So you will never be poor again. Have you ever heard someone say they pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps? It's a pride in that they were once poor and no longer are. It's a wounded pride. If you're wounded by a man, so you make sure you're never wounded by another man in your life. In fact, you can take pride in that every relationship you've had since that man wounded you, that you've been in control of every relationship since then. And you're proud of that. That's a wounded pride. How about if you're wounded by another race, another nationality, another gender? And from that point on, you want to put them down to show how we are better than them. Now, that's a cue right there. You hear coming out of your mouth the word them, you need to do some examining. None of this dismisses the wound. I want to make that very clear. Actually, it only explains the pride and the added hard attitudes. It's easier to be patient with someone when you can see and say, you know, I'm hurt too. And I know why you're manifesting that way. It's easier not to be cruel back when someone puts you down out of their own pride. Because you're hurt too sometimes. Again, none of this dismisses the wound. It shows the truth and why some find solace in putting other people down. Why some find comfort in showing other people's faults. Why some wounded people need to be superior to shake off the shame they feel themselves. Thing is, it never changes the wound. What really appears to happen is that the wound, the shame, the hurt, all the feelings that are inadequacy are worsened. They're intensified. They haven't been changed. They're just more defined now. Let me ask you, what happens when a splinter in your hand gets real infected? Or in your foot? It gets real infected to the point that it's full of pus. It's infected with pus. Now let me ask you this. If you're to treat yourself, what's a better treatment? Just letting out some of the pus with a pocket knife or removing the splinter with a pocket knife? Which one makes the real difference? You need to go at the source. You need to go at the wound, the thing that inflicted that wound. Sure, there's a lot of stuff going around. There's a lot of nasty stuff there. That one little splinter is the first step. And with wounded pride, that wound is the first step. You need to start with that wound. You can beat pride all day long with baseball bat on the head and shoulders. You're not going to have much success. You need to go after that small little splinter. That's where it is. You know, sometimes on the opposite side of that, sometimes we're so proud of our scars. We're so proud of our wounds, our mistreatment. It gives us opportunity. You know, we're proud of our wounds. You know, I survived this. It also gives us license and bragging rights. And if bragging's not prideful, I don't know what is. You know, we all have gifts and talents, don't we? God made sure of that. Some of us have more hidden talents than others. Now, mine is not seen. And I apologize to the people next to me when I sung. I couldn't carry a tune in a 5-gallon bucket, I swear. That's not my talent. But everyone has talents. God gives them talents. No. But my talents don't make me special. Your talents should not make you special. does not make your talents do not make you better than someone else. You are not superior to other people just because God's given you a talent in a certain area. Again, the gifts and talents are not bad. I am not saying that the gifts and talents are bad. I'm saying it's the woundedness that manifests pride over God-given talents. As we defined before, we are substituting and compensating pride to mask our wounds. There's different types of wounded pride. There's wounds of rejection. And wounds of rejection can bring a bushel load of compensations. A person growing up without a father can bring a lack of identity. And that can result in a frantic, lifelong search to be somebody. Without a father around, you want to be somebody. And this translates into so many different paths. Wanting to be somebody in the church. Wanting to be a prophet. Wanting to be the one that gives out the word. They want to be the leader, even if they're not the one appointed to it. We call that a straw boss, a self-appointed boss. And there's other ways. People will try and acquire a notoriety. Wow. There goes English, and I don't have a second language. You guys are enjoying this. Notoriety in one shape or form. Have you ever seen those? They want to show how much they know. It's wounded pride. There's a spirit, too, called lust for spiritual recognition. They want to be recognized for knowing stuff. That's a little further down, so I'll put that off for now. But they want to be known for stuff. You know, I know stuff. And I want to show you I know stuff. Let me tell you what stuff I know. Now you know I know stuff. Aren't you glad I know stuff? Okay. Excuse me, someone's calling me. Isn't that wounded pride? I knew a man. When he was growing up in another country, he had it pretty rough. And he was in a poverty area. Now, the country itself was pretty poverty stricken. But he was in a poverty era. And he was lost in the crowd. He was a nobody. Nobody. In the middle of a poverty-stricken nation. And his wife was telling me one time, I work for these people. His wife was telling me one time, she was so proud of her husband. He vowed he would be somebody one day when he was poor and a young boy. And he was. He became wealthy. He owned several businesses. He had an attractive family. He was respected by visitors from his home country. Whenever they came to the country, he made a big deal for them. He was respected. He looked up. He had money. It was very, very clear. He was compensated. He put doctor in front of his name when he didn't hold that degree. You know, I'm doctor this. And he was signed doctor this. He was not a doctor. Is that compensating? Is that wounded pride? Do you see the wound in trying to compensate and it never really hides it? You know, there's another thing he would say. He would say things like, I wonder how normal people would have handled that business transaction. When he was well pleased with the results. Is that wounded pride? Did that really hide anything? Let me read you some other ways people compensate. The look at me spirit. Look at me. Look at me. No, I'm getting a little honoring as I get older. And when people want the look at me spirit, I give it to them. You know, when we were in line to come on the plane here, there's this young lady, blue hair. She looked like a smart, I swear. Blue hair. That's okay. She's got the look at me. She wants to be noticed. Let's give it to her. And I was going to ask her, you know, is that blue or purple? And ask her things about her hair. Guys, hold me back. Oh, goodness. No, but the look at me. If you really want to see the look at me, spirit, go to the local high school and hang out there when they let that school out. You will see the look at me and the dress and the clothes and the cleavage and the lack of clothes. It's attention getting. How about the dramatizer? I don't know if that's a real word, but it sounds good, doesn't it? The dramatizer. You ever see someone trying too hard? Doesn't it just kind of fall flat? You know, again, I'm not very good with music. I enjoy music. I listen to music all the time. But you ever, you know, they're doing a chord and all of a sudden it just goes flat? Someone trying too hard, it's just flat. I see this so much in church. People just want to love you. Just come to church and love you. And quit trying so hard. Just come in and let someone give you a hug. It's easy to do. But when you're trying too hard, it's hard to get those arms around you and that crowd. Don't call it with us. The drama queen. Oh my goodness gracious. Everything is so traumatized. How about people working so hard to be liked? You know, these are, I get a message on a chameleon spirit, but it's more or less just, tell me who to become so you will like me. Tell me what it takes to earn your love and I will become that person. Working so hard to the point they will become someone else and lose their own identity. And then they've got a fragment of soul. How about conceited overlooks? Again, we're talking about God-given talent, but someone so conceited overlooks. You ever hear someone say, I'm so fine? Alright? Even joking? You know, why do you have to joke that way? One time, a lady introduced herself to me. She's 60 years old in a retirement community. And she introduces herself, and here's my name, and how do you do? And by the way, I used to be a Miss America contestant. Wow. People compensate in an endless number of ways. For the wounds and deficiencies, with clothes, with jewelry, with the choice of cars. People compensate with drugs and alcohol all the time. Have you ever heard someone say, I can't do this until I've had a few drinks? Have you ever heard someone say, I can't dance until I have a few drinks? Or I can't call a girl up until I've had a few drinks? Some people can't do anything without a few drinks, it seems like. They're compensating. They think they need that to get through life. Or they need to lose some inhibitions, so they drink a few first. Again, they're compensating. The curse of illegitimacy can also be the wound that sets one up for a wounded pride. They never feel like they fit in. They are blocked from feeling love from the church and the church body. And they don't feel like they belong, even while they're being hugged in church. You can be accepted, being smiled at, hugged, and yet inside they don't feel like they belong. The wounded spirit. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Really, who can bear a wounded spirit? Wounded spirit, broken hearts, malicious words, they cause unbearable wounds. Rejection operates in the spiritual realm and the belief system in these wounds. Again, the lust for spiritual recognition, I jumped my notes earlier. It's wanting others to know that you know stuff and that you're not a newbie. Who cares? Everyone's had to learn sometime. Being driven to teach. And they, as soon as they get able to teach and they got a message, they walk around with it rolled up asking them to preach it. And when they know, as soon as they give the message, they'll feel validated. That everyone will be looking to listen to me. That's being driven by that wounded pride. How about a know-it-all? How many of you have ever known a know-it-all? How many of you know several? Yeah. Okay. All right. You know, a know-it-all. Why do they have to be a know-it-all? They want to show you that they have knowledge. Again, they're trying to show you they're somebody with an intelligence and knowledge. They want others to think highly of them. Now, again, I may have it later in my notes. I knew a guy growing up. I won't say his name. But he was one of those know-it-alls. He knew a better way of doing it. He knew that you were doing it wrong, or he had a better one than you did. And one day I was at my uncle's place, and they had a farrier there, and they were shoeing my uncle's horses. And we were sitting in big white oak, sitting out there, and we liked watching people work. He was out there hammering away at the shoes. We were watching them work. And here comes this man up in his pickup truck, coveralls, comes over, and he goes up to the farrier truck and picks up one of those hot horseshoes. He picks it up and drops it and sticks his hand back in his pockets. Now my uncle's, I think after him a little, I think, he's a little bit on your chew, and he goes, I'm going to say Bob. Well, Bob, was that horseshoe hot? Bob goes, no, just doesn't take me long to look at a horseshoe. His hand is still in his pocket. He goes to the truck, opens it with his left hand, turns the key with his left hand, and drives off the road. It just doesn't take him long to look at a horse. Can you see how a know-it-all will become more and more wounded? They're shamed, they're wounded, it perpetuates. Again, it's wounded pride over and over. A rescue spirit is another example of wounded pride. Those especially that want recognition for rescuing. You know, especially when they get thanked for doing something. It's a false comfort. You know, you're the best. I don't know what we would do without you. We couldn't have done this event without you, and so on. You know, you're the best fundraiser this, you know, organization ever had, and so on and so on. And they just eat it up. And next year they're signing up for two positions within that organization. Then maybe they'll get double the recognition. And they want to be given a place of honor. People striving for titles, positions, labels of importance. They are still trying to compensate for a deficiency or wound that they feel will make them better. If they can have a string of acronyms behind their name in the business card, that will make them feel better about themselves. Wanting vainglory. Again, it's just their wounds compensating, substituting, masking. Now, wounded pride can also manifest in controlling others. This also can lead to wounded pride to control others to feel like it's justified. Now, if I control others and strings of control and even witchcraft controls, I'm in charge and I'm proud of it. My family is a tight ship and I run it just the way it should be run. And all my kids are under my dominion. That's a whole lot of control. You know, a lot of people get into witchcraft just for that reason. So they can have control. And a lot of people get into religious spirits so they can have control. You know, false prophecy. People running to you. Oh, give me a word. That's just another type of control. They feel special. You're in control. They're not a nobody anymore. Gives them power. Prejudice is one of the most vicious aspects of pride. When you want to feel better about yourself, you make someone else feel less. What is it in you that is deficient that you want to make someone else less than you? Why do you feel need? Why do you have the need to feel superior or smarter or more blessed by God than another person or another gender or another person's nationality or that profession or that so-and-so? Whatever your list is, what is it that is pushing you? What wound, what splinter is making you go there? You know, prejudice is one of those things that can be taught as well and transferred. So can the wound. You know, our people had this done to them, or our people survived this onslaught, or our people were treated this way, our people were starved and experimented on, our people were given poisonous gas, our people were given disease blankets, our people were given rotten potatoes, our people were given these chains. You know, again, it's the wounds of the being done wrong. Again, I am not dismissing that wound. But it's the pride that comes from those wounds. If there's a pride in that, something's gone wrong. There's a deficiency, and you're trying a different behavior to mask it. You know, the man that feels inferior or wounded by shame treats his wife like she's to be a servant. And the wife treats the kids with authoritarian rule. And the kids are frustrated with life in general, so they torture the dog, and the dog eats the father's slippers just to get even because he's a dog. They all have reasons for their daily manifestations, don't they? They all got their wounds. The reasons are real. The wounds are real. But it never ends. It's a cycle. Hatred of women. Hatred of men, prejudice of race, gender, jobs. No, some people are prejudiced against the police. Some have an outright prejudice and a hatred. Some people have a prejudice against Christians because of the wounds that they caused them. Wow. That could be a big one. I would hate to be that person that made a little child never have anything to do with God because they were wounded by a Christian. Lord, help that Christian, if they were one. There's people out there. I've heard them. I've heard them talk about their wounds. They were wounded by a Christian, and they don't want anything to do with God. I would hate to be that person. Luke chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. I know. That's wounded pride. I know. You start to tell someone and you don't even get to finish that sentence and they're going, I know. This is the insecurity of the person. They're saying, I know, before you even get to finish. They want to feel validated. They want to be acknowledged for having knowing their stuff. It's what drives them. I've seen adults and children do this. You're trying to explain to them, and before you can, I know. Okay, so tell me what you know. How do you do that? And they you know, really, they are so wounded to the point they know it all. Again, we're going back to the know-it-all, aren't we? How about the always right person? Are you one of those people that has to always be right? It's the same thing. It's the wounded pride. It's being driven. It's the woundedness. No, people will not apologize out for wounded pride. And they will even know they're wrong. But apologizing will make them weaker. So I will not apologize. I was wrong, but I still will not apologize. It shows weakness. That's a wounded pride. Other people will not forgive out of wounded pride. They hurt me, and I can never forgive that. What they did, I can never forgive. Or they say, I will forgive, but I won't forget. That's double talk. That's not forgiveness. That's keeping a done wrong list. How does Jesus forgive? How does Jesus forgive? He casts them into the sea. He takes the sins and he forgives by casting them into the sea. You ever throw something into the ocean without a tether? Could you get it back? How many of you have been out to the ocean? If you throw something in the ocean with the surge and the waves and the side current, you throw it out, it's lost. One time I was in the ocean, I was only waist deep. And I had a gold ring on. And the water being cold, my hands shrunk. And I'm in the water, and the ring just fell off. And I'm in waist deep water in the ocean. And it's fairly clear. I can see my toes. It's that clear. But with the surge, I saw it slip off. I saw it drop. And it fell in the ocean right there. And I could never find that. And I searched and searched, and I went through the sand. You know, when God throws our sins into the ocean, you're not going to find it. You could find it if you wanted to. Now, that's a lesson that's going to stay with me a long time. Now, how many of you have heard the phrase, God throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness? That's not biblical.
Right.
That's a Catholic doctrine.
Right.
I've got a list of about 11 false Catholic doctrines that the world teaches as being Christian or biblical. And they're nowhere in the Bible. That's one of them, the sea of forgiveness. No, God throws it into the sea. And really, the picture of throwing something in the sea, you'll never find it. The sea of forgetfulness, God's not forgetful. I'm not going to insult God's intelligence that he can't remember something. But if he throws it where he doesn't want to get it, that's the difference. God throws your sin in the ocean. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Let's go there. Who is God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's what the Bible says. Another type of wound or pride is that people will not forgive because if they forgive, they can no longer hold this against someone. And they're not ready to give that up yet. They can't turn loose of that. There's one lady that I know of. Her husband did her something very wrong and she never let go of that. Until the day he died, she held her fist tight around that memory. She never let go of that. You know, people will keep on a destructive path because of their wounded pride. Have you ever met someone that knows there is God? That knows God could save them from sin and hell? But still, they still want to go to hell? It's almost bravado. I'll see you in hell. They know there is a God. They know they can be saved from hell. But they still choose hell. They die knowing where they're going. And they believe that God could save them. They just don't want it. That's a wounded pride that they did it their way. Even up to the point of telling God no. Even to the destruction. Like again, it's almost a bravado. You know, they'll say, I'll see you in hell. And they're proud of it. Shame. Another example of wounded pride is by placing blame on other people. It's not my fault, it's someone else's fault. You know, we've been wounded by someone else to the point where we're victims. I'm the victim here. I've been wounded, so therefore, it's out of my hands. I grew up in a rough neighborhood. I can't read and write. So I'm the victim here. I've got a friend that's a probation officer, and she's talking about people that have these problems don't feel like they did anything wrong because they are a product of where they were raised. their actions. They're not accountable for their actions, are they? They're blaming someone else. They're not saying they didn't do it. Just, you know, it's not my fault. They're wounded to the point that they may even be prompted with it. Because what it made them into. It's their badge. Let me give you a couple of examples. And they may be extreme. Think of a prostitute that blames someone else for her circumstances. But still, at the same time, is proud of what she does. What she can do. Think of the violent man that blames not having a father figure around growing up, but proud that he can knock someone out with one blow. You see what I'm saying? Think of the abuser's husband that says his wife made him do that. And it's her fault he hurt her. But he's proud he's got dominion over his house. He's proud of the subjection he holds in his household. They're blaming other people, and yet they're proud of what they are and what they do, even what they can accomplish. How about people that are proud of working the system and will not leave taking assistance, even though they could? Oh, I turned down that job. It doesn't pay as much as I'm getting right now, so I'm not taking it. Wow. You know, our wounds can give us justifiable, legitimate cause to mistreat others. You ever notice getting up in the middle of the night with the light still out and you stumble and hit your toe? How usually it's somebody else's fault. You ever notice about you're working with a hammer, you hit your thumb, and you're justified in yelling those few words out? It's funny how wounds and pain can give us justification in how we react. You ever lash out at a pain at someone? Or they deserved it? Wounded pride says they deserve it. Wounded pride is also a brawler and a fighter. Many times they'll have a demon that manifests by saying, they better be afraid of me. They don't know who they're messing with. I could hurt them. I don't have limitations like other people. They think they're going to treat me this way? I could show them if I wanted to. This is a wounded pride. Ask me how I know, because I was one of those people. That was me before I got prayer on karate and murderous rage. Insecure on one hand, full of rage, and just wanted people to know what I could do. It's a demon manifesting. When they called it out, that was the demon manifesting. They don't know who they're messing with, is what that demon was saying. Now, the biblical examples of wounded pride is there too. I've given you some that you may relate to, and there's some other ones. The elder brother in the Jesus parable is one biblical example. Here he has done all the good things, and he's proud of it. But his wound makes him miss the real reason for the celebration that his father sold him. Luke chapter 15, verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in therefore, because his father came out and treated him. 29. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. A little lower lip sticking out there, right? But as soon as this thy son has come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. He totally didn't get it. All he could see is, I was faithful, I did this, and this, and this, and this, and you didn't even give me a small little goat. But you give him the big fat calf? That's the elder brother spirit. There's a spirit called the elder brother. King David's older brother is another example of wounded pride. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 23, going to 30. And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Goliath, Agath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, came up. Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. No taxes. Cool, I could go for that, right? And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and the naughtiness of thy heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have now I done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spoke after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. What I'm showing you here is wounded pride can even accuse someone else of pride. Here's the elder brother going, why are you here? Why are you talking so big? You know, daddy's favorite. Well, why don't you go watch your little sheep? You know, go play house and have a tea party with the little sheep and leave us real men alone. You prideful thing. That was wounded pride calling someone else prideful. He was jealous, but mostly he was wounded. Here he is doing all the right things, bringing the firstborn, going off to battle, risking his life, and this little runt, this little daddy's favorite, all the wounds start lashing out. Probably built up for a few years, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Joseph's brothers? Kind of the same story, huh? It's just not one instance. This has been happening for a few years. Daddy's little favorite, little so-and-so. A wounded pride, building. Jonah's another example. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee that my life from thee, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? Well, would any of you be haughty enough to talk to God that way? That's pretty bold. Excuse me. I don't know what's at the root of Jonah's rage. Jonah had a rage there. But something about God having him prophesy one thing, and then God turning around and having mercy on the people he prophesied to was just not good to him. It made him angry. It was a big problem to the point where it justified his anger to God. He felt he was justified at being angry at God. Samson, who was there for Samson when he needed someone? You know, we can say, oh, Samson did this wrong, Samson. Who was there for him? Who's there for your brother and sister sitting next to you when they need you? I'm sure all of you have heard this analogy. Us Christians are the few ones that shoot our wounded. Oh, you sinned, you're wounded, bang. Oh, there's another one, bang. No, we shoot our wounded instead of helping them. We should not leave them behind, let alone shoot them down. You know, Samson, his past woundings in his relationship led to his demise. his wounds in the relationships. Even when he knew Delilah was trying to capture him for the enemy, he thought he was too smart. He was too strong. He was prideful. But his wounding came from the past relationships. I don't think he cared at that time. I think he was so wounded from the past and having his first love stolen from him. When our wounds are taking us to a one-way dead-end street, that's a scary place. Never to return, that's just destruction. And your wounds will take you to destruction. In conclusion, how do you heal a wounded pride? You minister to the wound. Minister to the wound. You can call out the spirit of pride all day long. However, I want to subject to you or submit to you that you'll get better results by building that person up, by praying healing, and work on the wound that those people have. Work on the insecurities. Lay an axe to the root of insecurities, rejections, and inferiority kingdoms based in these wounds. Go to this area and work on the prize. Think of it this way. If I've got a big, ugly scab, and it's gross looking. No, it's kind of, they're all gross looking, right? It's the state of a wound being healed, right? A scab is a state of wound being healed. It's part of the healing process. It's the condition of a wound being healed. And with the healing of that wound, that scab falls off. It's irrelevant. That scab is the pride. It will fall off and just, you'll never think about it. The scab becomes unimportant, is never kept. That scab, that pride will fall away and no longer be an indicator of your wound. Once the healing process is applied. What caused the wound, the dart, the bullet that was removed? You know, sometimes we keep those as souvenirs. We don't keep the scabs, do we? We may have that little bottle of that bullet that missed our heart, but the scab, no. The pride will fall off. But by God's grace, we're alive, aren't we? It's a reminder. Us being wounded is a reminder we're still alive. And God has brought you out. You can create a monument to where you are today, even wounded. And God's grace is the reason you're here today, not the scab. Think of a reconstruction of a house, a remodel. You remove the damaged beliefs, the lies of the other contractors, the well-intentioned do-it-yourself projects coming from the self-help books, or damage done by demonic termites, eating away just below the surface, and we cover it up with paint. Oh, that's not so bad. All these sins, all these things are removed in a reconstruction, and a correct foundation is rebuilt. And they are strengthened and built up from the bottom up. The trash, the damage, the infestations are all removed. Cleansed out, rebuilt, using AAA grade materials. Loosening, healing and repair and damage and restoration. And the value of the house is raised. The self-worth of the people are raised that you can never foresee. This is the blueprint to addressing wounded pride. This is just not a kingdom you can call out. Wounded pride, come out in Jesus' name. It's more of a project of rebuilding a person. That takes time. One, the wound needs dealt with, or the pride really won't go away. The pride is just a mask of the wounds. Now, don't ditch pride with another overcompensation. False meekness. We see that in religious churches. I'm so meek. I'm milquetoast. Go ahead, run over me. It's a false meekness. That's a scapegoat. Again, it's chameleon spirit. You know, trying to be liked by being something you're not. Secondly, the pride does need to be cast out. Sooner or later, the habits of pride, at that point, would cause new wounds. The know-it-all, picking up a hot horseshoe, will cause a fresh wound. Once you get rid the termites and rebuild the foundation, you do have to address the pride sooner or later. But like the scab, it's loosened. It's not firmly attached. It's going to come off pretty easily. There'll be time to take care of that down the road. There'll be time to deal with the kingdom of pride in a good time. And three, the building up the self-esteem. Pray that in your prayers. There's more than just get out in Jesus' name, which is how we cast demons out. But we need to pray healing for one another. Build up our self-esteem. Minister to each other. Oh, many of you are walking wounded. And if this isn't addressed, you'll be walking time bombs. Traumatized people that go on forever and ever, and one day they go postal. There's so many pastors out there that are walking time bombs. They're wounded, the walking wounded. There are youth leaders out there that are the walking wounded. They're walking time bombs, and they're subjected to whatever they can do to hide their wounds. They bury themselves into the ministry. Yet, it's not doing anything, is it? It's the 16 pounds of pride trying to hide 1 pound of wounds. In reality, they're just compensating for their wounds. One day that wound gets touched. You ever have someone touch your wound? You ever have someone touch you on a sunburn? Did you say a few words? When that wound gets touched, people come out of character and lash out. Someone touch your alley? You can snarl. I do believe that haughty pride that is warned of many times in the Bible is rarer than the woundedness of the Napoleon-type complex pride. However, we all have our water loose. There comes a day when we face a battle that will change our lives. And hopefully that battle that you face is at this workshop, where you have loving people to stand and sit side by side you and pray for you. We want to pray for you for healing of your wounds. There is a tomorrow with hope and encouragement, a hope for tomorrow and a hope for today. All I'm asking is that you examine the area of wounds and see if you have anything sprouting up from them. Do you accuse others of being prideful? Do you have a list of done wrongs? Do you feel driven to make up for the shortfall of your past? Have you made vows to never live like that again or be wounded like that again? The wounded spirit can be so deep, so very deep. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, my last verse. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth not man, but the spirit of God. You may need to go to God to have him reveal your wounds. Rejection, the root of the wounds that make us the way we are. We may have forgot all about it. You know, my message on cruelty, I've heard the cruelty. I listened to the re-recording. I did the videos. And yet, when he did the cruelty message Thursday, I remembered new things. And I'm going, yes, Lord, all the best of us. There's going to be, you're going to have to go to God and say, God, show me where my wounds are. Where are the wounds that I don't know about? We've got a handful of the wounds we do know. But even still, later down the road, there's wounds we don't know about. Lord, bring them up. God, reveal the wounds, the real wounds, the rejection, the roots. That's what I hope you do. Now, I want you to do something for me. Where do you want to go from here? A decision right now. Where do you want to go from here? Do you want to go into praying for your wounds that produce pride? Or do you want to say, I don't have a problem? Well, my demons aren't the bad kind. Or do you want to get some praying and healing on wounds tonight? Yeah? I see more knowledge yes than no, so I'm going to go with that. So, Lord, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask that you loosen a measure of deliverance and a measure of healing of wounds that changes these people's lives forever. That you loosen a healing to their wounds, that you put the balm of Gilead on the wounds that no one else can touch, to the very depths of their soul. I loosen a spirit of comfort to go where comfort has never been. I ask that you go in and minister to them, bind up their wounds, protect their, bind up the wounds tightly, reset the bones, lay an axe to the root of the insecurities, the real reason they're wounded. Well, Father, I just ask that you go forth and start bringing to their mind the wounds and the memories. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break that association of shame. The enemy will not use that memory with shame. Like that videotape, like it happened 5 minutes ago, and you feel that emotion of shame just as much as it was 5 minutes ago. I break that recollection of Jesus' name, that evil memory recall. I loosen healing of those wounds. I loosen healing to the wounds that we have inside. Restitution, healing in Jesus Christ's name. All the demons that are trying to hide in the wounds, all the demons festering in the wounds, they have to go in Jesus Christ's name. All the demons of pride and woundedness, wounded pride, let's go in Jesus Christ's name. All the spirits of wounded pride, I act this way because I'm wounded. I've got a reason to act this way. All the justification and wounded pride, let's go in Jesus' name. Move all it out in Jesus Christ's name. Move. Come on, all your inadequacies, all your insufficiencies, all the reasons to do those things in Jesus Christ's name, let's go all it out. All of it out in Jesus Christ's name. All the spirit of insecurity, rejection. Come on. Insecurity and rejection. I lay an axe to the roots in Jesus Christ's name. Insecurity, rejection. Come on, let's go. Come on, for a minute. Come on, let's go. All of it out. All the counterbalances. All the false masks. Let's go in Jesus' name. Move. All the ways we pretend to be pride. Come on. All the ways we try and apply pride to fix our problems. Let's go all of it out. All the compensations, let's go in Jesus Christ's name. All the mechanisms we use to hide our wounds, let's go all of it out. All the symptoms of a wounded spirit, come on. All the spirits of a wounded spirit, let's go. Come on, that woundedness, come on, all of it out in Jesus Christ's name. That spirit of woundedness, I loosen healing in Jesus Christ's name to a crushed spirit, to a crushed down spirit, pushed down as a child, abused as a child. Come on, not allowed to speak, not giving any value as a child. All right now in the name of Jesus Christ, I loosen angels to minister to each person's self-esteem here in Jesus Christ's name. I loosen ministering angels to give them self-esteem for them to see how God looks at them with full of love and just well pleased with His people. You do not have to change. You do not have to do anything. You do not have to become anything. He loves you just the way you are tonight. I loosen that to your self-esteem to the point where you can physically feel that. I loosen that as a gift to each person here in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, all of it out. All of it out. All that wounded pride, let's go. Wounded pride. Come on, move. All of it out. Wounded pride. Shame. Burning embarrassment. I can't. Come on, that memory. That shameful memory. Come on, you were the victim, but still you wear the guilt of shame. It's like your coat. You can't get off. All that shame, burning shame, embarrassment. Come on, let's go. All of it out. All of it out. Everything the Lord has marked deliverance. Let's go. Inadequacy. Let's go. Shame. Come on. All those wounds of being shamed by parents, being shamed by relatives, being shamed by school teachers, being shamed by the bully, being shamed by the relatives or the babysitter. Let's go. All of it out. All that being taught a lesson by crushing your spirit. Let's go. I loosen a healing to that in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, everything the Lord has marked for deliverance has to go in adequacy. Let's go. All the infection out of the womb. I loosen ministering angels to go through and treat that infection in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, move. All of it out. All of it out. Wounded spirit. Let's go. All of it out. Broken hearts. All the broken hearts. I speak in peace and comfort to those broken hearts in Jesus' name. Come on, all that. Malicious words, cruelty, rejection, fear of rejection. I can't stand rejection. I can't stand disapproval. I can't stand the disapproval look of someone. Come on, all of it out in Jesus Christ's name. Faster, more angels, rat them out, bring them to the surface. Up and out in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, you're taking too long. Let's go, demons. You're taking too long, demons. Let's go, move, faster. Faster, more angels, ride them out. We loosen the angels hungry for the battle, hungry to drive them out in Jesus' name. Stir them up, Lord, stir them up out of the bowels of the belly. All those stuffed down emotions, stifled wounds you pushed down for years. You've told no one about that wound, no one about that injustice, no one about that cruelty. All the things we've stuffed down, It's not Christian to bring that up. I can't let people know about this. It's too embarrassing. Come on, all but out in Jesus Christ's name. Everything the Lord has marked for deliverance has to go. You have no choice. Demons, you have no choice. If the Lord has marked you for deliverance, you have to go in Jesus Christ's name. And quickly. Come on. Move. The longer you wait, the higher the price you're going to pay. Let's go all of it out. Come on. False prophecy. Wanting to be somebody. Kind of show you know something. Know it all. Let's go all of it out in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. Move. Wanting to be somebody. Wanting to show you know something. Come on. All the stuff knowers. I know stuff. Come on. Let's go all of it out in Jesus Christ's name. Everything the Lord has marked for deliverance has to go. All the mechanisms we use to hide the woundedness. The rejection, the insecurity, let's go, all of that, all the compensation, let's go. Move. Come on, all the nobodies, come on, the nobody spirit. You're no account, you'll never amount to nothing. All those labels, I break off on the spiritual realm on every single person here. I listen to God's value, God's sentimental value for you. You are priceless to Him because of His sentimental value to you. All that, instill that in your belief system. God loves you because of sentimental value. That can't be priced. That can't be bought. I loosen that into you in Jesus' name. Come on. All the craving, lust for spiritual recognition, the one to be the spiritual one. Come on. Wanting to be known as knowing self. Come on. All the spirit of prophet. Come on. All the know-it-all. Come on. Let's go. Trying to prove you know something. Let's go all of it out in Jesus Christ's name. The look at me spirits. Come on. The look at me spirits. Attention getting. Let's go. All of it out. Attention getting. Dramatizer. Let's go. All of it out in Jesus Christ's name. The dramatizer. Come on. Trying too hard. Why do I do that? Why did I say that? Come on. All that out in Jesus Christ's name. Impulsivity. Let's go in Jesus Christ's name. Impulsivity. Why did I say that? I didn't mean that. Why did that come out of my mouth? Come on. All that rejection that just spews out of your mouth in Jesus' name. Rejection, insecurity. Why do I say these things? Why does this come out? Why do I act this way every time I'm around that person? All that insecurity, rejection that spews out of your mouth. Let's go in Jesus' name. Out of the tongue, out of the vocal cords, out underneath the tongue. Let's go in Jesus Christ's name. Out of the voice box. Move in Jesus Christ's name. Everything the Lord has marked for delivering. Prideful and talent. Oh, I've got an IQ, blah, blah, blah. Come on, I'm so smart. I'm so pretty. Come on, so all that out in Jesus Christ's name. Pride, all that pride. Come on, compensating, masking. Let's go in Jesus Christ's name. Move, all it out. All it out in Jesus Christ's name. Compensating with drugs and alcohol. Come on, masking with drugs and alcohol. Let's go. Come on, move, all it out. I break off the curse of illegitimacy for 10 generations right now. I don't fit in. I've got to do this. Come on, let's go all of it out in Jesus Christ's name. Releasing healing, restoration in Jesus Christ's name. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do it once and for all. It stops with this generation, this second. It does not go to the next generation. It does not go to the next children or the children's children. It stops today. The curse of the bastard, curse of destruction, curse of alcohol stops today. It does not go to our children. It does not go one second further. It does not go one generation further in Jesus Christ's name. I break that curse off the people here. They do not want it. And we just loosen your angels to break the curse. We proclaim it, and it's done in Jesus Christ's name. We loosen angels to go forward and make this happen, to take away the trash that the enemy's trying to do, the stumbling block, the curses, the labels in the spiritual realm. We break that off in Jesus Christ's name. Attack them with this weakness. Attack them with this pride. Attack them with this insecurity. We break off those labels, all the designs, all the targets on our back. We break that off in Jesus Christ's name. We listen ministering angels to stand around us and minister to our wounds. We listen angelic guards to guard the wounds so they're not picked on and infected and scabbed and scarred. We listen healing and a balm of healing to go to each person here on their wounds. Come on, all of it out. All of it out. Everything the Lord has marked for deliverance has to go. Stir them up, Lord. Stir them up. Everything's on top. Everything the Lord has marked for deliverance has to go. Come on, move. All the spirit of prejudice, hatred of other people, hatred of men. Come on, they hurt me, and this is the way I'm going to get even. Hatred of women. Come on, you can't trust women, they're this and that. Come on, all that hatred, all the wounds and rejection by the opposite sex, the opposite gender, all the hatred and prejudice of another race, another nationality, hatred of policemen, hatred of everything, whatever it may be, hatred or fear of doctors, fear of dentists. All the prejudice that we hold inside and stop. all the things we inherited. Let's go all without Jesus Christ's name. All the prejudice. Move. Everything on top. Everything more is marked for deliverance in Jesus Christ's name. All that wounded pride. Never forgiving. Come on. Returning evil for good. Come on, all that out. All the unforgiveness. I will never forget what they did to me. I will never forgive what they did. We break those spirits. We break those lies of the enemy. Excuse me. We break that lie of the enemy in Jesus Christ's name. We do some healing to each person here. The ability to forgive. The ability to throw it into the sea in Jesus' name. Lord, teach us to forgive. Not let it be lip service. Not let it be something we fake throw like I do with my dog. Throw the ball, but hide it. No, we're going to throw it and let go of it in Jesus Christ's name. Let it go. We let it go for our health. It's a poison. You hold on to it, that's a poison. We let that go in Jesus' name. Come on. All the unforgiveness, all the poison, all the things we want to hold on to that makes us feel better. We're a victim. We're wounded. These are all the things that make me feel special. My pain is special. My wounding is special. Come on, let that go. Let that go. Let God make you whole. It's better to be whole than have a badge of a victim. Let it go in Jesus Christ's name. Be willing to let it go and God make you whole. Come on. Everything out. Everything the Lord has marked for deliverance has to go. Stir them up, Lord. Stir them up. Come on. All of it out. Angry with God. God, why did you let this happen? Why did you let me get wounded? Why did you let this bad thing happen to me? Come on. All the anger with God. All the curse of brass and iron. We break that off in Jesus' name. We loosen. We break off the curse of shaking our fist at God. Lord, Father, as silly as it sounds, we forgive you, and we ask that you forgive us for having anger against you. We ask that you heal us and make us whole. Treat the wounds, whatever wounds they are. Treat the wounds, Lord. Treat our wounds. Minister to us. Let us be changed people. Change our lives, Lord, Father, in this workshop. Let the people leave with a measure of deliverance, a measure of healing that changes their life, that they may be used by you. Come on, everything's on top. Everything the Lord has marked for deliverance. Let's go. All of it out in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I loosen your spirit to rest with each person tonight. And minister to them. Give them a sweet sleep. And have angels minister to them all night long. To their wounds. To their memories. And to the done wrongs. And we just ask that you go to the tender parts and bring it up. And let them be willing to address the issues you bring up. The courage to face the wounds of the past. And we just ask that you be there and hold them tight and bless them richly for their faithfulness. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.